The last verse of the Gospel of John has always piqued my interest. You may know that verse and you may not. John's Gospel has so many incredible stories about Jesus and miracles and truly a deep treasure for all those that really want to hear the heart of God. The Gospel of John. Sometimes people say, well, if somebody's never read the Bible and you give them a Bible, what's a good place for them to read? I've always felt like the Gospel of John is a great book in many ways. Well, it's the last verse of the Gospel of John that I want to start my sermon with that's piqued my interest. And this is it. This is the last verse of the book of John. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. Wow. Of all that we know and we sense and we feel and we believe about Jesus and what seems to me to be sometimes every time you hear a story, you read a parable, you hear again the wonder of the story of Jesus, something new and fresh comes out of it. But imagine what John was saying here. He said if Jesus said and did many other things, that if we had them all, it would be a whole library of things. And there's certain things that we know and we'll probably find out in eternity that Jesus did and said. Little glimpses of great truth. Well, here's one of them. All that to say that there's one of those little glimpses of Jesus that I want us to focus on this morning. Acts chapter 20, one verse. Here it comes. In every way I've shown you that by laboring like this, it is necessary to help the weak and to keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, for he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this morning for a few minutes, I'd like us to think about those words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I'd like to ask you this morning to help me with my sermon, literally. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask for testimonies. Maybe something, I don't mean long stories, but something from your life that you believe that is real to you about the blessing of giving. Maybe in the life of someone dear to you, or maybe somebody you've observed. Again, not looking for long stories, but I'd like to ask you to engage this scripture in the words of Jesus and what it means to you. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How is that true in your life? What does that mean to you? These words of Jesus that apparently the Apostle Paul or Luke had heard that Jesus had said, but they're not recorded elsewhere in the gospel, but powerful words about the blessing of having a giving spirit. The blessing of having something on the inside that fuels your heart and your life, that you are a giver. How blessed, Jesus said. And many other scriptures talk about the blessings of being a giver. Now, naturally, when I say that and I quote this, and I'm going to read some more verses from the Bible about being a giving person, the first thing that comes to mind is our money. And that's certainly a big part of who we are. But it's really not the part of us that I'm thinking more about today. I'm thinking more about our character. I'm thinking more about how we view other people and how we give of ourselves to be that circle of influence that God wants us to have, that we give from our hearts. Over the next month or so and a couple of weeks ago, I told Debbie that I want to focus on areas of stewardship and how important it is to be a giving person. And this morning especially, I'm thinking about the giving of ourselves, the giving of our time and our influence, that we are a blessing to other people. And I believe Jesus said, and we'll read other scriptures too, that remind us that it's when we give that truly we are blessed and that God's blessings are poured out. We know that Jesus believed that. Jesus talked about it. Jesus taught about it. Jesus used that word many times, the word blessing. And that's not a word that I kind of grew up really focused on. It was kind of just one of those words I heard a preacher, I heard in Sunday school, or I read somewhere about whenever the scripture says the word blessed. But you know, Jesus uses that word quite a bit, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about blessed are those, at peace are those. Genuine contentment and joy and happiness will be for those that do certain things. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed, if you read Matthew chapter 5, you read a list of things that Jesus said. You will be blessed if this is who you are. And one of these that are not in Matthew chapter 5, but Jesus is quoted in Acts chapter 20, as he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe, like I said, there are many scriptures that just tell us and give us the heart of Jesus about giving ourselves away and what that really means. I see, in fact, throughout the Gospels, lots of little gems, shiny little gems that are found throughout Jesus' teaching about the blessing of being a giving person and how we are benefited by having a heart that is giving. Luke chapter 6 is one of them. And I'd like to invite you to turn to it if you would like to. Two verses. Again, I'm reading quite a few verses today, but just one or two at a time. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38, Jesus gives us four ways that we are blessed. He doesn't put them in those words, but that's what he's describing here. Four ways that we are greatly blessed if we hear the heart of God. Verse 37 says, these are Jesus' words, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Four beautiful statements of blessing. And in 38, continuing that verse, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. That not only is a blessing, but it's a promise of God. God says that if we have a certain attitude and a certain spirit and a certain life outlook with who we are and how we see the world, that we will be so blessed if we understand the heart of God. Jesus gives us what I'll call this morning kingdom advice. Advice to each one of us to remember these simple, basic principles that are true and real. Number one is this, is he says, do not judge and you will not be judged. There's something about an attitude in the heart and the mind of being judgmental that robs us of understanding and receiving the full forgiveness and cleansing of God. And if we have a judgmental heart, we bring on ourselves something else that is not a blessing, some kind of a hardness, some kind of a spirit that blocks the grace of God in our hearts and our lives. People who judge others, bring judgment on themselves, Jesus says. People who are judgmental, or generally we just think about life, are people that are not very much appreciated. It's hard to like somebody that has a spirit that's critical and negative and judgmental of others. And Jesus is telling us that that's a spiritual reality of often people who have a judgmental spirit are hiding from their own faults, and they're blocking God's ability to change them and bless them and help them. Truly, I see this as an issue of blessing, that if we have a judgmental spirit, then we're not able to feel and sense the blessing of God in our hearts and our spirits. Getting out of a judgmental spirit is so good for us, and out of any kind of an attitude that inspects other people instead of allows God's grace in our lives. And Jesus said, do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Certainly they're related. Judgment and condemnation. I'm not sure if this is exactly right, but I think of having a judging spirit and Jesus talking about those that had it in their heart, maybe in their mind. And then those that speak it are condemning. And he said, don't do that. These judgment and condemnation, if you do that, then something is blocked in your own life to receive the blessings of God. Forgive, he says, and you will be forgiven. Again, he doesn't say it, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. He says that somewhere else, but here he says it in a way of blessing. As you forgive, you will sense forgiveness in your life. I think Jesus was thinking about relationships also with people. When we have a forgiving spirit toward one another, people see that and understand that, and they're probably more patient with us, but also with the Spirit of God to cleanse us and help us with the things that we have as faults in our lives. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And then verse 38, the one especially that I wanted to focus on today, it says here in verse 38, give and it will be given to you. What a blessing giving is. Pressed down, good measure, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. Here's this symbol, this picture that really comes from the Old Testament, the idea of the priest carrying the grain. And I won't take time to go into all of it, but basically that when you are a giving person, more will come onto you. And that's the promise that God gives us in this picture from long ago. It's a blessing that God will give you when you give. You can't give more away than God will bless you with. Somehow, when your heart's right, and Paul talks about when the heart's right, the gift is right, but when you are giving from your heart in love, God just puts back in far more than you give. That's the reality of it. It's who we are as God's people when we understand that, how true it is when we are giving of our time, of our love for people, sometimes of our money, sometimes of a patient spirit, sometimes of a kind spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, when we are giving people, the truth is God blesses us so much. And we are filled with something that we might not be able to exactly describe and explain. And I know I feel that so much of the time. I feel like God's blessed me in so many more ways than I deserve. I heard other people say that, you know. That they just have felt and sensed the goodness of God and the blessing of God. That doesn't mean that life doesn't have problems. It doesn't mean that you feel that way all the time, because we have different feelings. Feelings aren't always positive. Sometimes they're very negative. But we know in our hearts that when we are people that are giving from the heart of who we are, that God blesses that. He promises to, and he does. It's God's blessings on us that sometimes feels like he just gives us a little extra boost to something. Sometimes it comes out, we don't even realize it, because people see a joy inside a heart of one who is a giving person. And they think, boy, they have something I don't. You've heard that term so many times before. Somebody will say, maybe before they come to faith in Christ, because of somebody's positive influence, they'll say that, or they'll feel that they have something I don't. And I believe when we have a giving spirit, we have something that the people who don't understand this principle, they don't have it deep within, have, because God gives them something special. Throughout the scriptures, we have this idea of giving and what that means. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 has this, what seems like a little bit of a curious way to say it, but of course from Ecclesiastes you probably would expect that. Cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You know, I have this picture. It had to do with loading your grain on a ship and sending it out, and not knowing if it's going to make it there or not, not knowing whether the storms will sink the ship or somebody will steal the grain, or even after the grain is sold, it won't ever make it back to you. But the idea from Ecclesiastes is you just cast your bread upon the waters. And this is about being willing to give away yourself. and how precious it is to give away yourself. Jesus talked about that. If you want life, give. If you want to really experience life, and again, I'm not talking about riches financially, I'm talking about spiritual riches. Give yourself away. Cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Again, this beautiful principle that when you let it go and you give it freely and you give it without knowing if it's going to come back, you might not know when it's going to come back. You may not see how it's going to come back, but if you give yourself willingly, God will bless you in an incredible way. Give recklessly, one person wrote. That's God's principle. Give of yourself. Give yourself to others. Give yourself in service to other people and to God. Psalm 112, verse 5 says this, God will come to those who are generous. Think about that. Will come to those who are generous. A generous spirit, a generous heart, God brings back to them goodness. Doesn't mean that God doesn't allow problems or pain, but there's something that generous people have that those that are not generous do not have, and they're missing something precious. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. One more, Proverbs chapter 11 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will be refreshed. I just love the way that's written. He who refreshes others will be refreshed, and how true it is. When you have a heart to encourage others and bless others, how God uses that. It's almost like God doubles the gift. You know, we're always hearing fundraisers. Well, if you give, there's a matching grant. You know, if you give $50, somebody else, you know, and it doubles. And it's the way it is with being a giving person. God takes that and multiplies it in ways that you might not ever know or see. And it's beautiful. It is so true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I think of two areas of life that's true. One of them is the game Uno. I was playing with my grandkids this week. If you know Uno, you know what I mean. You know, when a guy beside you comes around and he gives you a draw four, you know? My grandson just loved to do that to me on vacation. It was something. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Boy, in life, spiritually, how blessed it is to give. How blessed we are when we give. John Wesley, most of you know that name. You've heard that name before somewhere. Some of you maybe have studied who John Wesley. He was a great 18th century preacher. At the time, Church of England, passionate about people, passionate about helping other people. He was a great preacher, a great evangelist. He began the Methodist movement that became the Methodist Church. He's a tremendous man of character from all I've heard and read. He certainly is very instrumental in the founding of our denomination and our mindset about holiness and people. The movement that became the holiness movement. Well, I've read a lot about John Wesley. I've read several books about him. One of them I read about John Wesley is a little bit, he became very wealthy by the end of his life. Through his work, through donations that people sent him because of his incredible leadership and teaching and preaching, and people just wanted to support him, and he wrote, and his things were published. He became very wealthy by the end of his life. But one of the principles that he lived by and he cared about greatly was this principle that Jesus talked about it is better to give than to receive. And so he spent his life helping the poor, clothing the naked. I could tell you stories that I've read about him, how he would go into the coal mines of southern England and he would help the sick, and he would pay for the care for families. And basically, John Wesley was known for many things, incredible things, but one of them is John Wesley was known for how he felt about giving himself away. It was written about John Wesley that he had a large salary at the end of his life, and he made a commitment to live on 2% of it. whatever it was, I'm not sure exactly. I read some numbers, but he said, I can live on 2%, and I know what God wants me to do with the rest of it. And then he came up with this expression that many of you have heard before. He said he believed that God wanted him to gain all he could, God wanted him to save all he could, and God wanted him to give all he could. And he lived by those three statements and principles. And he believed hard work and making money, nothing wrong with that. If God allows you to make money, great. That, you know, if that God allows you, whatever he allows in your life, see it as a blessing from God. And then save all you can so that you can give all you can. And John Wesley lived by that. I think John Wesley died an incredibly rich man from everything I've heard about him. Not in assets. In fact, one of the things he said one time in one of his sermons was he hoped by the time he died, he'd have no more than 10 pounds of assets. Of course, I don't know what that is. Neil, you could help me with that. I don't think it's a whole lot. But that was John Wesley's view, and he said that sometime. He said, I don't want to take anything with me. And, you know, I feel whether it's money, and again, that's not the, well, it's all important. That's not the most important. It's who you are. Don't take anything with you. Give all you can to be a person of influence that God allows you to be. Give everything that you can because you can't take it with you. And if you just leave it behind in your casket, what have you accomplished? Give all that you can. All right, I've come to the place where I'd really like a few quick testimonies or something that you believe about giving. How are generous people more blessed? Would you help me with that today? I know some of you have been thinking about that. If you're willing to, I'll bring you a microphone, take a half minute, a minute, and just tell me something on your mind. Maybe somebody else that you've observed in your life and your spirit, but what does giving mean to you? And how is this true, what Jesus said here in Acts chapter 20? It is more blessed to give than to receive. All right?
I had something happen to me this week. I went to the gas station, to the Sunoco in Lewisburg, and I was just getting gas. And I said, you know, I said out my window, I said, it's really cold. I really don't feel like pumping my gas. This gentleman walked over to my car and said, I'll pump your gas for you. And I said, okay, thank you. I'm just going to run in and pay for it while you pump the gas. He says, oh, no. He says, it's paid for. And I said to him, I said, no, it's still pumping. It's not paid for. He said, oh, yes, it's paid for. And may God bless you and pass this on. Mm. And the tears just filled my eyes because you know something? Just when you think that things are negative, as a pastor says, a positive angel just enlightened your life. And I just believe that he was that day. And I just appreciated it because I just seen the Lord. It was amazing. So he paid for my gas, and I'm trying to pay him. And he said, no, I told you. Now take this and pass it on. And I cried even more. I think I cried the whole way to work.
Thank you. Imagine the blessing that you felt. But I bet God blessed him so much to know that he did something that God allowed him to do. Thank you. That's incredible. Somebody else. What does this verse mean to you?
Growing up, I didn't always, me and my family didn't always have a lot of food. So we were scarce in saving and eating as much as we could. So in this time, when I got married, I always said that when I had children, I would always see to it that they had enough food and clothing, and they would never go hungry. So ever since I was married and able to, they never did go hungry. Now when I cook for more than just my family. Mm. I cook that I can share and give to those who don't, even including sick. Mm. It's rewarding to me, and I found lots of people who didn't have enough food. So I try to give to those who don't have by cooking for them and sharing my food with them. And I do that in enjoyment. I love to cook. It's like my time, I talk to Jesus. And I love to bake also. So I also share all that as well. So I just feel that God enables me to have enough to be able to give that.
Yeah.
And I give it in love.
Amen.
Through him.
Excellent. Thank you. Out of a need in your childhood, God blessed you with a gift to be able to do that. That's smart. Anybody else?
I was just sitting here. Is this on?
Yeah, hold it close. Okay.
I was just sitting here thinking of something that happened years ago that's always been a memory of mine. Comes back every once in a while. When I was in Bible school, there was an older lady that had polio. She couldn't hardly talk. She walked with a cane. Her legs were sort of crippled. And a lot of times people, you'd hear people make fun of her and stuff. She lived by herself in a little cabin. And I knew she couldn't do much in her home. And I felt one day that God wanted me to be the person that could help her in her home. So I went to her door one day and I mentioned her name, knocked at the door, and I said, I really feel like the Lord wants me to help you out here and clean your home for you. And I remember she lit up, and I got all the furniture out of the cabin and set it outside and got mop and all the cleaning stuff and cleaned her place for her and dusted, did everything. And I remember it always stayed with me, the brightness and the joy I saw in her face when I put everything back together. And that made me feel like $1 million.
It did so much for you, didn't
that
it?
That smile and happiness was on her face.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. It's when we give away that we're so blessed. Our DS challenged us when he was here. And then I heard him speak about it at a district meeting of pastors, and it was so powerful to me. He talked about how back in Virginia, he had challenged his church for I don't know how long. I don't know. It might have been 30 days. He said, I'd like to challenge everybody in the church to go out and do something extravagant for somebody without any connection to them paying back or anything, but I just want to challenge you to do that. I've been thinking about that, so I'm still working on thinking about it, but if you want a head start on it, ask God what you can do to give yourself away. Maybe God would bring something to your spirit and your heart and your mind that would be incredible, that you would be a blessing to other people, and God would bless you also, Imogene. Hold it up, right up to your mouth.
Right here?
Yep.
I live at Kelly Apartments in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. And we have a couple people that don't have a lot of company coming to them. So this one lady that I take a meal down to her every Sunday. And when I eat a meal over at my son's, he makes sure that she gets a meal on Sunday. Well, my son had a cookout, and he had corn in the cob. He had everything that went with it. And I took her a full meal over to her house. She said, Emma, if you wouldn't have brought me this meal, I would have probably not even had a piece of corn this year. And she was so thankful for it. And I tried to help all the neighbors over there. As best I can.
Yes.
That's my testimony.
Thank you, Emma Jane. Okay. One more maybe or two. Just jump up if you just want to. Don't be shy. But I have more to say.
I just have to brag about one person that I really know and love. She saw a woman that was walking from, I think, Wise Markets down through. She didn't know who she was, And she stopped and asked her if she needed a ride. And she took her to this where she needed to go. She also is one that when I needed help and I call at 2 a.m, she's right there. She's a person that has a heart of gold and gives of herself over and over. And when my dog was having problems, she said, "Why didn't you call me?" I said, "Well, it was like 1 a.m. She said, "You could have called me. She would have been right down." She just gives and gives. And I love her so much because she's been there for me when I had depression. Mm-hmm. And I call her when I had my babies. I didn't know what to do with Ruth Ann, so I called San and said, "Would you come down? I don't know what to do with her." And because she was crying. And I love her. And this is my sister who has a heart of gold.
Boy.
I love her.
Oh, isn't that precious? What a story. Crystal, would you go to the last slide, please? I'm going to tell you one last little story about somebody in our church. And I did ask him permission because this morning when I met for prayer with some people, I was telling her, I knew she wouldn't be here today, and I was telling her about the sermon and what I was thinking about. And she said, "Well, let me tell you how I feel." So I thought it was so good. I said, "I'd like to repeat it if I get it right. I might not have it right, but it's Sue Hartung. You guys know Sue." And Sue told me the story that she said many years ago, she had heard about all the missions trips that people went on. She said, "I'd like to do that. I think it'd be great. I could go and help people. I could go and maybe I can do some medical stuff, or I can, whatever needs to be done, or I can, you know, she can put down blocks, whatever, you know. But I can go and I can really be a blessing to people." And so she went on her first trip. I don't remember where it was. And she said when she got there, she realized how much God was doing in her heart and her spirit. She thought she was going to bless somebody else, but she found out pretty quickly what it means that God knows our hearts, and when we give of ourselves, God blesses us. It was a beautiful story. She also said that it was on that trip, and I won't name the other people that were involved, but it was on that trip that a couple of the people that were on that trip had talked to her about some deep things in her life. She said, "Pastor, that's the day I got sanctified. When I realized that God wanted to bless me more than what I could do to just bless other people." And it's so true. God will bless you emotionally, spiritually, financially. I don't know how all that works. And I'm not a prosperity preacher. You know what I mean by that? I'm just not. But I know that God will bless you, and you will be so rich if you are giving. Jesus said, "It is better to give than to receive." It's a deep truth. "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." When we're giving people, boy, people see something in us that's incredible and good and points them to God. And that's what we want as Christians, to point people to God in our lives. I want us to sing this song in closing today. I think it's number 68 in the songbook. "Go Light Your World, Carry Your Candle." Check me if that's not right, the number 68, I think it is. "Carry Your Candle." Would you stand with me? I want to invite you to sing this, and as you do, in your heart, pray, "God, how do you want me to be a giving person? What do you want to say in my heart and my life about who I am? Lord, if there's selfishness in there, root it out." Selfishness is a part of who we are when we're born, and conditioning, and sometimes because of where we live and how we live, we struggle with that. But I just want you to know the best thing you can do is let yourself go to be the generous person that God wants you to be with your life, with your time, with your care for people, with your sensitivity. And God can help you to deal with that issue in your life, in your heart. And God can bless you so much. Understand how much He wants to bless you. Let's sing the first and third verses with a chorus. There is a candle in every soul. Father, thank you for giving so much to us. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the privilege and the honor to hear the heart of God. May we hear it and see it as we open our spirits to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to understand your principles. God, change us where we need to. Reform us, conform us. Help us to be a candle that you want us to be in the world around us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings on you. Thanks for being here today.